Welcome to the Risen Church Podcast, a collection of sermons from Risen Church in Santa Monica, California. Here at Risen, we believe the Bible, proclaim the gospel, and seek to better follow Christ. As a Jesus-centered church for the people of Los Angeles and ultimately the world, we aim to help people know Jesus, grow in faith, and go serve the world. If you're interested in more information, please visit us at risenchurch.com. And now for this week's message.
Well, my name's Austin. I'm on the team here at the church. And whether you've been with us for 30 minutes or 30 years, we are so glad that you've carved out this morning to be with us. This morning, as you can see, we're kicking off our Advent series. It's joy to the world. Advent simply means arrival. And we'll be reflecting over the next several weeks about this great news that breaks into the earth about the arrival of Jesus into the world. And so this morning we'll be in Luke chapter 1. Luke is an eyewitness disciple of Jesus, and he's writing an orderly account to someone named Most Excellent Theophilus about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This morning, specifically, we'll look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And we're going to walk through this in five parts. First is Elizabeth's pregnancy. Second is Joseph's line. Third is Mary's situation. Fourth is Gabriel's announcement. And fifth is God's nearness. Again, Elizabeth's pregnancy, Joseph's line, Mary's situation, Gabriel's announcement, and God's nearness. But first, I want to start with this. Once every movie series has a good run, they always decide to make a prequel. If you're one of our Star Wars fans in here, you know the prequel was The Phantom of the Menace. If you're one of our Harry Potter fans, it was Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And if you were a Lord of the Rings fan, somehow they turned The Hobbit into three separate movies. But prequels are designed to extend the adventure backwards, to fill in the gaps, to connect stories to a larger history. When we hop into Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, Luke is referencing a prequel. At this moment in verse 26, Elizabeth is 6 months into a miraculous pregnancy that no one expected. A pregnancy that will give birth to a prophet named John that will prepare the way for Jesus, the main character. And Luke reminds us of that. This is beginning in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Notice what's happening. This section is actually about Mary and Mary's encounter with an angel, but Luke wants to connect this story to the previous story that he's just wrapped up. He's referencing this idea that God has already been moving as we enter into this point. God has already been working. Already in this area, there's these rumors of good, joyful, glad things that are happening in their midst. For context, before we head into the rest of this is Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, just a few verses prior. This recounts that story and says, but the angel said to him, this is Zechariah, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you shall call his name John. Watch this in verse 14. And you will have joy. You will have gladness, and many are going to rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. Now he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Watch this. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people that are prepared. The announcement to Mary in chapter 1, verses 26 to 28 is preceded by the above announcement to Zechariah in 1, verses 13 to 17. That Zechariah's son would prepare a people for the Lord. You know, as we kind of come down off of this rush of Thanksgiving and Black Friday, and we kind of, you know, hop into this Advent season, we're reminded that these 4 weeks of Advent, we're not invited to speed up, but we are actually invited to slow down, to become a people that are in fact prepared for the Lord. And so when our families gather for family worship around the dinner table, those are moments to prepare our families for the Lord. When we gather in community groups, in homes, we make one another ready for the Lord. When we serve people and we practice generosity, we are making one another ready for the Lord. Church, I want to encourage you. The Advent season is not a time to speed up. It is a time to slow down. Help prepare yourself and those nearest to you to receive the Lord. So that's point number one. It's this kind of note, this hook into the prequel. We'll move to point number two. Again, Elizabeth is 6 months expecting, and now an angel is sent to a specific person in a specific place, but first it mentions someone who's not quite there yet. This is Joseph's line, verse 27a. It says, and the angel was sent to a virgin that was betrothed, that simply means to be engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. And watch this detail. Joseph of the house of David. We don't yet know the virgin's name, but we do know the husband's name. And his name really matters. Joseph is intentionally chosen because he's a descendant of David. He's of the line of David, a royal, kingly line. And by doing this, God is setting the stage for Jesus to have a rightful claim to the throne of Israel as their king. Joseph kind of reminds me a bit of Aragorn in Lord of the Rings. When you are introduced to Aragorn in Lord of the Rings, he's kind of this quiet, obscure guy in the background, a ranger, a wanderer, really overlooked by everybody. And yet all along, he kind of carries this royal lineage inside of him. When we reference Joseph in this moment, he has some similar characteristics. A blue-collar worker in a blue-collar town. Obscure, yet carries this royal line from David within him. For context, this is important because this fulfills several Old Testament prophecies. These are just a couple right here that we'll go through. This is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. And I will raise up your offspring, and I will establish his kingdom. This is Isaiah chapter 9, 6 to 7. Of the increase of his government, that's this future king, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, and he'll sit on the throne of David. This is Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 6, talking about someone that will come after David. I will raise up for David a righteous branch. Joseph becomes a crucial piece in fulfilling these long anticipated promises. And Advent fills us with joy because the long-awaited king from David's line has come to re-establish his kingdom. And from that point forward, just like the mustard tree, it will grow and grow and grow into every tribe, tongue, nation, and language, even here to Santa Monica. And so during Advent, when our families gather to worship, we're growing his kingdom within the four walls of our home. And when community groups gather to read and to pray, we are growing God's kingdom in our neighborhoods and in our communities. And so Advent is this reminder that the kingdom of God that starts as a mustard seed continues to grow, and we are now participating in that growing kingdom story. That's point number two, Joseph's line. And so as a recap, Zechariah and Elizabeth are bringing forward a son who will prepare a way for Jesus. Now an angel is sent to a woman engaged to this obscure blue-collar man of a kingly line named Joseph. And now we're introduced to Mary. This is point number three, Mary's situation. Verse 27b, it says, and the virgin's name was Mary. This can seem insignificant, but it's packed with meaning. Mary is part of the extended family of Elizabeth, who's bringing forth John the Baptist. And so you get this sense from the get-go that she's part of this upright, faithful, righteous people. She's unmarried, but committed to Joseph. And so she's kind of at least mentally preparing to begin a family. And the text says that she's a virgin. She's abstinent, righteous, and living faithfully before God. In other words, when we talk about her, she's just kind of a normal person. But soon, she's going to hear news that as a virgin that's engaged is going to put her in a bit of an awkward situation, that she will conceive a son by the Holy Spirit. As she kind of begins to tell a few folks about this, it's going to put people on their heels a little bit. And we've all heard of awkward excuses that sound unbelievable but just might be true. A student shows up to tell his teacher, "The dog ate my homework." An employee tells his boss, "The email went to my junk mail." Mary tells Joseph, "The Holy Spirit did it." Mary comes from a good, righteous family with a good reputation. And she is chosen to carry the most unlikely news in the history of the world, that she will conceive by the Holy Spirit and bring forth Jesus. And this too fulfills Old Testament prophecy. This is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel."
We hope you're enjoying this week's message. We believe that following Jesus is best done connected to the local church. If you're in the Los Angeles area and looking for a church, or know someone who is, we'd love to invite you out to worship with us at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. Join a community group that meets throughout the week, or serve with us in the church and in the city. You can find all the details at risenchurch.com. We would be thrilled to connect with you. Now, back to this week's message.
Joyful news often comes in unlikely forms to very ordinary people. And every single Advent, when we lean into these weeks that lead up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we're reminded of the wild, unexpected, joy-filled announcement that God is keeping his promises, that God is drawing near through normal people. And so this Advent season, if you feel normal, you're in luck. If you think your family is normal, you're in luck. If you think your life is just kind of normal and mundane, you are in luck, because the surprising news of Advent is for normal, everyday, mundane people. This Advent, we get to lean into that. And so you might pray as you're kind of, work doesn't stop when Advent hits. obligations and responsibilities don't stop when Advent hits. Some of those ordinary things keep happening, and we get to pray before the Lord, Lord, would you continue to just remind me of this wild, joy-filled news that you're breaking into my world, even in these very ordinary, mundane spaces. That's Mary's situation. And so there's this forerunner through Elizabeth, John the Baptist, that's on the way. There's a royal lineage through Joseph that's coming. There's a faithful young woman named Mary who will conceive a son by the Holy Spirit. Now an angel steps onto the scene with an announcement that will change everything. This is Gabriel's announcement. The text says, and he, Gabriel, came to her, Mary, and said, greetings, O favored one. Again, Mary is just kind of this obscure person in a backwater town living a very mundane life that just seems kind of ordinary and maybe even bleak at times. And she's about to face a complicated situation with some of this news, but first the words she hears are filled with joy. It's all greetings. It's all favor. It's all gladness from Gabriel. You might think of Buddy the Elf in the movie Elf. He walks into every scene in that movie overflowing with joy. Even when no one else is in the mood, he sings in a quiet office, celebrates the Christmas spirit among stressed coworkers, and smiles through moments that do not call for cheer. But he breaks into every room and shifts the temperature of the room. There's a little bit of Buddy the Elf and Gabriel here. Gabriel arrives with this announcement, this great news, this favor towards Mary, this God is smiling on you kind of announcement. He erupts into Israel's long season of silence with exceptionally good news. It's also the case that these kinds of angelic breakthroughs are familiar throughout Scripture. Here's just a brief list. The angel of the Lord, as we saw in Genesis, finds Hagar in her distress and promises that her son will become a great nation. A visitor tells Abraham and Sarah that they will bear Isaac in their old age. The angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's barren wife, announcing Samson's birth. Gabriel tells Zechariah just a few verses before that John will prepare a people for the Lord. Next week, we'll see an angel speak similar news to Joseph. So in other words, it doesn't happen all the time, but this pattern is fairly familiar throughout Scripture. And when we come upon Advent, there are things that feel unique about it and things that feel familiar. Songs we've sung 100 times. Stories we've read 1,000 times. Decorations that we've put up more times than we want to count. In other words, Advent ought to feel simultaneously unique, but also this joy-filled pattern of just a good thing happening. Sometimes we want Advent or the spirit of Christmas to feel like magic, to just kind of wash the year away and make it brand new. But sometimes Advent is just supernaturally familiar. And that's one of the joy-filled aspects of it. Supernaturally familiar stories. Supernaturally familiar songs. Supernaturally familiar readings. And so this Advent, if it feels like a mix of unique, it's only once a year, but it's the same thing every single year. That's okay. You might make your prayer, Lord, help me to receive the familiar parts of Advent with fresh eyes, with a new heart, and with great joy. This is the beginning of Gabriel's announcement. And so God has been preparing the way through a promised forerunner that'll be born to Zechariah and Elizabeth. He selected Joseph, a quiet man with a royal line, to anchor Jesus in David's house. He's chosen Mary, this faithful, humble woman, to carry the promised child. And now Gabriel has declared her highly favored. And now the final word that kind of ties it all together. It's this idea that God himself is drawing near in this moment. That's point number five, God's nearness. After all this commotion, Mary, highly favored one, greetings. Great to meet you. He says, the Lord is with you. Notice what's happening here in this kind of obscure space in Galilee of Nazareth. In a season of silence, God is speaking again. In a season of darkness, a light is dawning. And in a season of distance, God again is drawing near to his people. You may know this feeling if you've gone camping in the springtime or fall time. You start to underestimate the night temperatures. So when you start to go to sleep, the fire goes out and you spend the next several hours shivering in your sleeping bag. Then just when the night feels the longest and the coldest, something begins to shift. If you're in Oklahoma, where I'm from, a rooster starts to crow in the distance. Birds begin to stir, and there's this thin line of light on the horizon. The world has not changed yet. You still can't see anything, and you're still freezing. But you know that warmth is coming. You know that you will be able to see soon. You know that day is drawing near, and it fills you with hope. Something similar is happening in this moment. Israel's night has been long, but the winter is thawing. God is drawing near. And this idea of the Lord being with you again is familiar all throughout the Old Testament. And it's often used when God is doing a new thing among his people, when he's fulfilling one of his promises, when he's renewing his covenant with his people. This idea of the Lord is with you in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, we also see in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, when Moses is at the burning bush, and the Lord tells Moses, I will be with you. And then later in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, Joshua is about to enter the promised land, and it says, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is Judges 6 through 12, Gideon's this judge about to go on a mission. It says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And the prophet Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 15, it says, the Lord is in your midst as God is returning to dwell amongst his people. In other words, this idea of God is with you, it signals not just his presence, but the inbreaking of a new thing. The renewal of God's covenant with his people. The fulfillment of promise. God moving the story forward in a significant way. And so this Advent season, we remember the joy that comes with covenant renewal. The joy that comes with God fulfilling his promises. The joy that comes with God drawing near. So you might make your prayer this week, Lord, would you renew me and my family and my community this Advent season? And that's kind of where the gospel kind of hits us like a 2x4 in the forehead. Because the truth is that we need covenant renewal often. We are a people that are not prepared for the Lord. We're busy with other things. We trust presidents and politicians more than Jesus as king. We're a people that when we hear the good news of the gospel, we tend not to believe it. Like it's too good to be true. We're a people that have lost our joy in God, lost our gladness in God. And we are a people that abandon our covenant with God over and over and over again. But Christ offers us a way back. He invites us again, every day and every Sunday. He invites us to be a people that are in fact prepared for the Lord. He invites us to trust his kingship and to live within the confines of his ever-growing and expanding kingdom. He invites us with new ears to believe the good news. He invites us to find our joy in God, and he invites us into covenant renewal with great faithfulness, that we can come to a space like this table with great joy. And so this is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, not dropped out of thin air, but born of woman, born under the law to redeem those just like us, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Church, the gospel is great news. May it fall on ears that can hear it this Advent season and fill our hearts with joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for week one of Advent. And we ask you that you would help us to slow down and to use this time to be filled with joy and being a people that are preparing ourselves for you. To be a people that are trusting your kingship and living within your kingdom. To be a people that are filled with joy at the unpredictable, wild good news of the gospel. That this holiday season, you would help us to find great joy in the familiar songs, the familiar stories, and the familiar symbols. And that, God, you would put great joy into us as we come to the table for covenant renewal, to remember your body broken for us and your blood shed for us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. We hope you've been deeply encouraged by it. Each week, we're able to produce this podcast because of the faithful giving of our congregation and others who support us. If you'd like to help us continue to create similar content, you can give at risenchurch.com. And if you're in the Los Angeles area looking to connect with the church, we'd love to have you join us. Hope to meet you soon.